Good afternoon. This is Dwayne Kaysen, New Berean Baptist Church. This is our midweek Bible study. We have a new series starting today. It's called Marching Through the Gospel of Mark. Marching Through the Gospel of Mark. And I'll tell you why I call it that in a little bit. First, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit that we are able to understand your word and apply it to our lives. We ask you to bless this time as we go marching through the Gospel of Mark to receive our blessing from this young man's journey with Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Marching through the Gospel of Mark. This is going to be a fun Bible study. It's going to last several weeks, probably close to 2 months. And we're going to look at the Gospel of Mark. Now, there were 4 Gospels found in the New Testament. And since I often teach children, and I ask them, who are some of the disciples that Jesus had with him, they'll all say Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is an understandable answer. But Matthew and John were the only disciples that wrote Gospels. Luke and Mark were not disciples in the sense that they were part of his 12. So let's look at some of these Gospels. Then we'll go and look at what Mark is all about. Why were these Gospels written? What do they represent? Why are there 4 Gospels and not one? Well, the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in that order, were written to different people, written to different folks to hear and understand the message therein. For instance, Matthew's gospel presents Jesus as Messiah of Israel, the king, the anointed one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah who would come and deliver his people. Luke, on the other hand, he presents Jesus as the perfect man. He's often using the phrase as son of man. Jesus often refers to himself as son of man. But he was the perfect man, the one who was sinless, the one who was qualified to die on the cross for our sins. Now, John, on the other hand, he presents Jesus as God Redeemer. He's the God Redeemer. He is both deity and he's humanity in the flesh. You might remember John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us as the perfect man. Mark, on the other hand, he presents Jesus Christ as the servant of Israel. Matthew was writing to Greek-speaking Jews. Luke was writing to Theopas, someone who perhaps funded some of his writing. John was writing because there were people over the years who had started to teach some error, and so he wanted to bring the fact that Jesus was God onto the table. And then there's Mark again. Mark again presents Jesus as the servant of Israel. What are some other aspects of these Gospels as we begin to touch into the Gospel of Mark? Well, for one thing, you might have heard this phrase, the synoptic Gospels. If you read through the New Testament Gospels, you'll find that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have many of the same stories, sometimes the exact same words. Whereas John, on the other hand, he has a unique writing of these gospels, these stories. He did not want to repeat all of the other information in the other gospels, as well as what's been what we call oral traditions. So his was a unique gospel. So the Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels because they have many similarities. John's gospel was different. The gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke were perhaps written in a different time, somewhere between 50 and 65 AD. John, on the other hand, he didn't start until perhaps 85 to 90 AD. That's why he was able to take some of the information that those guys had and put a different twist on it. And remember, these men were writing with the Holy Spirit guiding them along as they wrote. So it is still God's word. God just used different people to tell a different side of the gospel. And we're studying the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Mark reveals Jesus Christ as the model servant. He represents the intense activity of a diligent, hardworking servant, serving many others. In fact, you're going to find the phrase immediately in the word and several times. Why? Because Mark is going to be wearing track shoes as he's telling this story. Every time you get through one passage, you don't have enough time to take a breath before straight away Jesus is engaged in another activity. This servant is introduced without the genealogy that you'll find in Matthew. When I first became a Christian and I was given a Good News Bible, so I started at Matthew, and the only thing that turned me off was he kept saying, and so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so, and I didn't understand any of those begats. The Gospel of Mark does not include any genealogy. Doesn't need to. Why would a servant have a number of people that he came from? That's what a king would do. But a servant, we don't need to know all of his relatives. We just want to see him serve. That's what the Romans, who Mark was writing to, would have understood. It didn't make sense to them to be talking about the relatives of a servant. Mark does not include Jesus' birth. He doesn't include his childhood. He doesn't do any of that because he's engaged in the service of ministry. So that's where Mark starts, as Jesus begins straight away after his baptism into the ministry with John the Baptist. So whereas Matthew emphasizes Jesus as the King of Israel, and Luke expands the view to say he's the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one blessing all mankind through Israel, Mark is broader still. He talks about creation. The account presents our Lord as a servant of Israel and confirming God's promises. So he comes to us through Israel after the resurrection, reaches out with the blessing of the cross for mankind to be redeemed. So there's some things that we found interesting. You will not find Jesus being addressed by somebody else as Lord in this gospel until after he's risen from the dead. Why? Because he's being presented as a servant. And also, the word law does not occur. The law does not measure his service because he's a servant, right? A servant doesn't have all those legal demands on him. He's just a servant. A servant does not expound the Constitution, I need my rights. A servant just does what he's supposed to do. So it has fewer parables than the other Gospels. And you'll find that Jesus avoids many of the public notice that you'll find in the other Gospels. He often is shown going someplace to get some rest. And you can tell the humanity of Jesus as a servant because you'll find that there's some humility in Christ as presented in this gospel. So when was Mark written? The Gospel of Mark was chronologically probably the first of the Gospels to be written down. There's a controversy whether Matthew was first or Mark. Many of the early church fathers look at Mark as the first of the Gospels to be written. And it was probably written in Rome prior to 63 AD when he started, because as you'll go through some of the lessons here, Mark was getting his information from Peter. In fact, Mark sometimes is called the Gospel of Peter. It's believed that Peter was the one who turned Mark on as a spiritual son, the one who was helping him to grow, become a Christian, become a leader. That's what they believe. And of course, Peter was kin to Mark. He was his nephew. And then Matthew, of course, was an apostle. So was John. Luke was a very close friend and an intimate friend with Paul, as well as his companion in the ministry. But John Mark has a distinction of perhaps being a weakling at first and then coming out strong. So let's look at John Mark, the author, the writer of this particular gospel. Mark was one of the New Testament writers. He was not an apostle. John Mark is his name. His Jewish name is John. Mark is his surname. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "And when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." This was when Peter had been released from prison, and he was looking for a place to go after he was released. Not by the authorities, of course, but by an angel. So this is the first time we'll see historically Mark show up. We believe he was a person of wealth and a prominent family in Jerusalem because they had servants. If you recall, it was the servant girl who told everybody that Peter was at the door and she didn't open it. So Mark is the one also who went with Paul on his first missionary journey with Barnabas. And it's when he went back home that Paul didn't like that too much. So the next time they were going on the second missionary journey, Paul didn't want Mark to go. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 5, it says this, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to that minister." In other words, he was serving them. He was their helper. "But this man turned back at Perga," and apparently this is what turned Paul off to Mark, so that on the next journey into the second missionary journey, Paul thought he was a weakling, a scaredy cat, a coward, and he did not want Mark to come along with him. Now, we don't know what his excuse for leaving. We do know they had a rough time there on the first missionary journey, and he may not have wanted to be part of the entourage at that time. And we know that his Barnabas took Mark with him after there was a sharp contention with Paul, and they went and sailed him to Cyprus. So we don't know the reason why, but we know that Mark made good. We look in 2 Timothy 4:11, and you read that only Luke is with me. This was a dark time for Paul. It may have been his last letter written to his son in the Lord, Timothy. He said, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me in the ministry." So there was a question, I guess, about Mark in Paul's mind, but we see at the end that Mark was one of his top guys, someone he could lean on for help. And we also know that Mark was working with Peter as well. And so Mark had a unique opportunity to get the guts, the construction, all the innards of the gospel from Paul, and he got to hear the stories of Jesus from Peter. So he has a pretty good background to write this gospel as the Holy Spirit leads. So we believe that Mark got his facts of the gospel from Peter and the thorough explanation of the gospel from Paul, the apostle. To whom is it written? Matthew was written for the nation of Israel. It's written for the religious man. Mark was written specifically for the Romans. And they, the Romans, they were into power. So when they see this servant, they're looking to see what kind of power did Jesus have as a servant. So everything had to be action-packed. Everything had to be fast. So as you're going through this gospel of Mark, as we march through it, that's the reason I'm using the word march, because there's no stopping. Every time you get to a break, you just finish one story, it says, and straight away, and then, I believe the word "and" is used something like 1,300 times. It's just a continual marching through this gospel from the time that Jesus is baptized, the time he goes to the cross, and then is resurrected. This is the same Paul that said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth." And we'll look at that in Romans 1:16. So the people in Rome were into power, and Paul's understanding of power came from the gospel. So you had a dichotomy, if you will. So we want to continue to look at some of the things about the Simon Peter's version of the gospel. The church, the early church, they didn't have what we have today, the internet, and you can listen online, and you can have a podcast. Peter didn't have any of those, so they wanted more of what Peter had to offer. So many people were glad to see the gospel of Mark, because they understood it sort of as the gospel of Peter. Peter's account of his relationship, his walking, his discipleship under the Lord Jesus Christ, his relationships with Jesus. And so people really enjoyed having this gospel. Mark was the interpreter for Peter. He carefully wrote down all that was spoken to him. He recorded it, not on a microphone, of course, not on a tape recorder, but it was written down. And so many people earnestly sought Mark, and he was his gospel was probably the first gospel story that they had to read from. And in the early church, what people did, when they went and got into people's homes, that's where they had churches, they would read scripture from the Old Testament. They would also read many of the copies of the letters and the Gospels that were being written at that time as part of their morning worship service. Now, we do that today because we have a Bible, but they had copies of letters as they began to share the Word of God with people. So with that in mind, we're going to look at some of the characteristics of Mark's gospel. As I said, it's a gospel of high intensity drama and action. That's what the Romans wanted to see. You might recall that Romans had these activities of gladiators in their fighting lions and sometimes Christians and killing them. They were into entertainment. And so this is what they were looking for, something to exciting to read and talk about. And Mark's gospel fit the bill. He didn't give Jesus the royal robes of kingship. He didn't have the nice towel of service that you'll see in Luke. He was shown as a servant. In the Mark 10:45, which is probably like a theme for the gospel, says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." In Isaiah 42:1-2, Jesus is fulfilling the servant role of Jehovah. Here's what it says in Isaiah 42:1-2. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." You remember what God said to Jesus as he came out of the water? "I have put my spirit upon him." Do you remember the Holy Spirit being on Jesus' shoulders? "He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." He didn't come to be a superstar. He came to die on the cross and to serve the people. So these are just some of the things that we can look at as we're going to be marching through the Gospel of Mark. It's brief, it's blunt, it's pertinent, it's short, and it's sweet. You can read the Gospel of Mark in a very short time. It doesn't have as many chapters and pages as the other Gospels. It's a simple style, and again, I say there's a lot of straightforwards and ands spread out throughout the Gospel of Mark. So that's what we are looking at as we're getting ready to go into the Gospel of Mark, and that was the introduction to Mark. Now, we're only going to look at one verse in chapter 1, and I'll just start it off. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're not looking at the beginning of the gospel being a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, or the story of Jesus at the age of 12. He was not carrying out the gospel at that time. Mark does not touch that part of Jesus' life. So we see that this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what that means? You'll find out next week. Right now, we're going to close out and thank God for this Bible study as we begin to find out just what the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is all about. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you and we love you. We thank you for giving us the Gospel of Mark. It's a short book. We can read it quite quickly. It's a simple book. It's not difficult to understand. I pray that the saints will begin to have some excitement as they read through the Gospel of Mark, as they study the Gospel of Mark, as we begin to march through the Gospel of Mark. In Jesus' name, amen.